Gisela, could you possibly do a roll call of who we have on the call right now?
Absolutely. Just waiting for the go-ahead on the recording, and I'll do that for you, Evan.
Thank you. We are now recording.
Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's JAS call on Thursday, the 12th of August, we have Evan Leibovich, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Rafik Damak, Boudouin Chombé, Sébastien Bachelet, Tijani Benjema, Andrew Mack. From staff, we have Carla Van Lente, myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and we have apologies from Olaf Nordling, Alex Gakuru, and Carlos Aguirre. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Evan and Carla.
Okay. So I guess what I'd like to do is to pick up where we left off before. We've been going through the document that had the comments that people have left, and we've been going through them. We had left off on Working Team 2. Before we go into that, does anybody have any comments or things that were either not said about what had been done last time? Just want to make sure that we've got any comments. Did anyone sort of have anything reflective that they wanted to say on the stuff that we did last earlier in the week before we move on?
Tijani.
And forgive me, I'm going to ask you to speak up because I'm now trying to do Adobe Connect from two different machines, one my mobile and one my Pentium 1 system. Neither is running it yet, so I ask for your forgiveness and ask for you just to announce when you need to talk. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Evan. I think that from the last teleconference to today, there was a lot of exchange on the list. And a lot of points, a lot of issues was raised. I think that this period of brainstorming have to stop at a certain limit because we need to draft the final thoughts, the final ideas, the final recommendations. So I propose that today also we continue to discuss the point raised on the mailing list so that we decide to have a position on those issues, and we starting from Sunday or Monday, we begin to draft the recommendations one by one.
Well, actually, I don't think we have any choice in the matter, Tijani, because of the deadlines regarding the board retreat and having to have something ready in that context. So you're not only are you absolutely right, but I don't think we have... I don't think we have too much room to move regardless. So let's move on with where we're at now and see how far we can get. And then at that point, then as you say to Jenny, we've got to go into sitting down in wordsmithing mode and take what we've discussed and try and bring that into the draft report as we've got it. So... All right. Does anyone have any other comments before we move on?
Evan, this is Andrew. Just a quick question for you. Is the Tijani mentions that there were two or three things that came up over the course of the week, and we talked about two of them yesterday, you and I. Do you want to go through those now, or should we go through those later in this call, or are we going to? What's your suggestion?
Well, anything regarding Work Team 1, I'd like to try and deal with as soon as possible because we'd already gone through that in the document, and I was going to start to move almost exclusively to the WT2 stuff. So if there's anything residual from WT1, I would like to try and put a wrapper on that today or now if possible.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want to, we can bring up the stuff that you and I talked about yesterday. And I guess, so I can raise this, and Andrew has mentioned the issue of the bundling, an issue that had been in previous documents but has since been considered for taking out. And so I just wanted to get... sort of final view from everyone here about the issue of basically the way the discussion went yesterday is that I thought that the issue of bundling was legitimate and within scope, but would not affect enough applicants to be considered as a high priority item. So while it's something that we may want to consider, it's not our plan A in terms of the possible solution for reducing costs. Does anyone have any comments on that? Again, like I said, I don't yet have access to Adobe, so please just raise your hand or vocally to let me know you want to talk.
Evan, you have the problem that you don't have the Adobe Connect, but I have another problem. I can't lower my hand. When I raise my hand, it's impossible to clear my situation.
So then that means to Jenny that you'll be permanently talking for this hour.
No.
Hello.
Well, do you have something to say since your hand is permanently up?
No. I prefer not to say anything. I will. I will send on the email what I want to say because I see that you have a way on which you have to, you want to go, and I can't understand how we can have the final recommendation on which everyone will agree if we don't solve the items raised now. So no problem. We can continue, and I will write mails after that.
Okay. Does anyone have anything else to add right now before we move on?
On this issue, could I just respond really quickly to the note that Richard sent out yesterday? Because I think it goes to some of our conversation.
Go ahead.
Okay. Really quickly, I want to make sure that the intent of this is not misconstrued. The intent of this is to get more, more underserved strings in the root, and as such, support the communities that we're looking to support, and nothing more than that. The goal for the bundling, as we've discussed from the very beginning, was to try to encourage people to do things that they would not otherwise be able to do financially because of the high costs. Getting into not strings that are likely to be built out anyway and have an economic rationale, but ones where there may be a benefit to the international community to having having access on the basis of basically by trying to capture the positive externalities, which is to say, to trying to capture the fact that if you're applying for one string, most of the due diligence that is done is going to be done for one will be valid for all, and that was the idea. The intent is to get more strings out there in the root for underserved language communities, and that's where this all comes in. Is that making sense?
I'll just repeat what I told you, and that is, this is going to be a challenge explaining the way that this is going to work.
Right, and so what I would throw out to the community is what you and I discussed yesterday, which is, let's leave it in as an option. Let's not devote that much time to it right now. And we'll see if we can find a real life example that would make it work, and move on to the next topic.
Okay. Anybody have anything else to add before we move on to the next items on the WT2?
Yeah, it's Alan. One short comment.
Go ahead.
I think it's not hard to find examples of the types of things Andrew was talking about, to find examples which don't include real-life examples where multiple scripts will be paid for by the people who are intending to do it, and therefore not significantly eat into the predicted pool of money, as it were, I think makes it a lot more difficult.
My suggestion, Alan, is only that we're from the outset this idea was I think of this as kind of a freebie for us, where cost recovery, what we're trying to do is get cost, we're going to work off the same cost recovery principle, right?
No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying wording it in such a way where it helps the groups we're looking at but doesn't impact the overall process may be challenging.
I'm willing to take that on as a responsibility since this was one that I proposed. Okay?
Okay. I have no problem keeping it under on the table under those terms.
Terrific. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments before we move on? Okay. So moving on. Again, I'm referring to the document called the Draft Final Report, JASWG V2.1. And I am on page 11 of that on issues.
Is that the document that's up?
Sorry?
Is that the document that's up on our screen? Oh, you don't have a screen. Okay.
Evan, this is Carla. What we have on the screen is the summary of the public comments.
Can you put up the other comment, the other document, Carla?
Sure.
It's already in there. It should just be able to be bringing up.
Hi, Avery.
Hi, sorry I'm late, folks, but please go on, Evan.
What version are you looking at, Evan? I'm sorry.
The one I have is V2.1. I'm working as fast as I can in the background to try and get Adobe Connect working. So right now this is what I have to work with. So if I remember, we are moving on to WT2.2. Reference to the GAC communique in connection with this issue is also relevant, specifically when ICANN is urged to set technical and other requirements, including cost considerations, at a reasonable and proportionate level in order not to exclude developing country stakeholders from participating in the new GTLD process. Key documents should be available in all UN languages. GAC urges that the communications and outreach strategy for new GTLD round be developed with this issue of inclusiveness as the key priority. Okay, does anyone have anything to say about the contribution from the GAC on this? It doesn't seem to be out of line with what we're doing, except reminding ICANN that we have to put this information out in all languages. The GAC seems to believe that cost considerations be considered to not exclude developing country stakeholders. This doesn't seem out of line with what we're already doing, but does anyone have any comments or additions for this particular context?
It's Sebastian, if I can say a few words.
Please.
Yeah, my question is, I agree with what the GAC say, but at the end of the day, the other part of the question was not raised here. It's in which language the project could answer, because if you read it in Spanish and you have to answer in Russian, or if you read it in French and you have to answer in English, it's not the same thing. And for some of the people, it may be good to have this document in other language, in UN language, but also to be able to answer in other language.
You mean to actually send in the application?
Yeah, because we know that the cost will be important with the question of lawyer, of language, and so on. Then if we want to decrease the cost, we need to allow the people to answer in the same language that they will read the document.
It's Alan. I have a response to that.
Go ahead.
I can't disagree in theory, but in practice, I just don't think that is going to work. We're talking about things where ultimately there need to be discussions in English and there need to be people who can work in English, because the contracts will be with ICANN. They will be, language requirements for dealing with the various other people in the internet ecosystem, and we're just not going to be in a world where we can do everything in in one language. where we can do everything in multiple languages. So getting the documents out in multiple languages says people can find out that there exists opportunities. They then may have to contract with someone or find someone who can, you know, complete them. So I think it's about as good a middle ground as we're likely to get in this world. We're talking about in the time frame for the first round. ICANN is not going to change into an organization that can respond in multiple languages for in everything, nor is IANA, nor is, you know, the various other players in the game. So it's not perfect, but I don't see how we're going to come any closer in the time frame we're looking at. Thank you.
Sebastian, do you have any comments, answer to that?
Yeah, no problem. We have a lot of good answers that ICANN is just an English speaking organization. No problem with that.
Oh, yes, there's a problem, but not one we're going to fix this week.
Sebastian.
Well, if I can just suggest, this is certainly a good first step, and it is an improvement. And one of the things that we can be looking forward to, if we do get critical mass and we get a small secretariat for this activity, would be to try to include in the multilingual capacity. I think it's a worthy goal. I agree that I don't think it's realistic we're going to get it in the short term, but locking this in, if nothing else, is still a big improvement.
This is Aubrey, if I can add. Isn't that one of the reasons, though, in this first round, why you do have language and translation assistance with getting documents done as one of the services that needs to be provided?
Yep. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. By the way, Cheryl, my cell phone isn't letting me on Adobe Connect either. It's saying.
Oh well, never mind. I just heard that Amadeo had managed it, and I was hopeful it might have assisted you.
By the way, I'm watching the Adobe so I can yell out if there's hands up. Now that I've got myself on the call late, albeit.
Okay. So essentially, we don't really have any comments on the GAC issue, right? What we're doing.
I think the comment is, if I can suggest from what I've just heard and what we've got in the document is, you know, good point. This would require a major revamping of ICANN processes that is not likely to happen before the first round. And this is the reason why we're suggesting that there be help for people in, you know, dealing with English applications and English contracts. So, I mean, I think that that's the kind of response we give to that. And from what I've heard, that seems to be kind of what people would accept from this group, that would be, you know, yes, you're right, it should evolve, but since it's not going to be able to in the short time, let's look at ways to help those people respond in English.
I don't think that's a response to the GAC one. They're saying key documents should be available. They're not suggesting the bidirectional.
Oh, okay. This is a response to Sebastian's point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to WT2.3. I hope this is the same as is on the screen. I'll just read it. There are two important points that need to be taken into account prior to the issuance of any final report. First, the proposal to prohibit any support from applications in connection with governments is overly broad and inappropriate. Okay. Comments?
Yeah. Do you want us to raise hands, or should we just jump in?
You can.
Avery, can you help me with the queue?
Yeah, you can certainly raise hands, and if I see and if you do, okay. I see Andrew has his hand.
It's Alan, a point of order. Could I ask whoever's changing the hands up to microphones, can they lower the microphones when we finish?
Well, that can only be Carla.
So,
yeah, that can be Carla, or somebody can give me can promote me to deal with it, and I'll deal with it.
Carla and Gisela are the only people who have the capability, according to the screen. I don't know who's doing
and
it.
Carla has
okay, sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. I'm sorry. I'm not finding on the on my screen where this is written. But I don't think it was ever the intent to keep any government. I don't think it was ever the intent, and I don't think it's in any of our documents to suggest that a group with any connection to government can't participate. Only that this shouldn't be effectively subsidizing a government initiative. A largely or purely government initiative. So if that's not clear, then we should clarify that. But I don't think that's the way our initial documents read.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. I agree with Andrew. That's right.
Well, this is Avery. If I can ask a question. I thought we had specifically said that if you have majority government funding or you're majority government sponsored, you're not qualified.
That's right.
Yeah, see, Avery, that was a conversation that I haven't put my hand up, naughty me. I remember, and I wasn't in the room the whole time, that conversation ran certainly in the room in Brussels when we were discussing this, and you and Evan were presenting, and it was an issue also raised, I believe, in the AFRALO discussion room as well, where, correct me if I'm wrong, Tijani, but Africa was also concerned that any implied prohibition on a government-supported initiative concerned them. But I don't remember a conclusion to that, only a awareness that there seemed to be almost two extremes in views, those who felt if government was involved, well, then they should have the resources by some definition, and those who felt if government was involved, it didn't mean that they would have the resources. That support was not just limited. It can be support in principle, but not financially, for example, from a government.
Andrew has his hand up.
Yes. Thank you. Just briefly, I get the two ends of it, and I think that we want to steer clear of either end of it. I'm concerned that in many countries, if we could get ourselves into trouble if we keep groups that have some government connection, and we could get in trouble if we support governments that should be supporting it themselves and or might claim to speak on behalf of communities but might not be very good spokespeople for communities. And I can think of a number of countries around the world where that might apply. I actually thought the language that we had was okay, but I'm open to changing it if people have a better idea. The key thing is to not be subsidizing something that should be paid for either out of, that should be self-supporting. That's all.
I don't see any hands up. I'll interject myself. This is Avery. I actually think that the language we had was good. I do agree with you. I think there's real problems wandering into this territory, especially on the first round. And I would hope that nothing that was, this is personal, I would hope that nothing that had government subsidy got other subsidy, because governments, are not the poor actors of that we've been speaking of. We've been speaking about, groups that have financial difficulty. And if you've got the complete backing of a government, the financial capability is there. So I think the language we have is fine, and I would really worry about opening this up to, groups that have complete or strong government subsidy. Chloe, was that your hand up? I see a microphone for you, but... No.
Okay.
I had put my hand back up while Avery was speaking.
Okay, so your hand was up, but it showed up as a microphone. I don't know what's
well,
going on.
Well, someone had a rush of blood to their head and gave me the microphone, which is fine.
Okay.
Once you give people microphones in this bizarre and peculiar system that we seem to be running in the Adobe room, only those who are, got the yellow body parts can take
I,
away.
I've been wiping out microphones as soon as they showed up. I didn't mean to wipe out your hand.
That's okay. I just want to point out that in terms of the discussion we're having in this meeting, if the work group believes that the language does not indicate that any support from a government in an application means that it is a prohibition for it to the application to qualify for consideration for this type of support that our work group is focused on, then we need to say that. And if our language is not clear enough, then we need to fix that.
Jenny.
Go ahead, Jenny.
No, the language, I think, was enough clear. Because it says exactly that support from government is not prohibitive for be eligible, but this group wouldn't accept that a government project will be supported by this initiative. It's not exactly the words of the text, but it's the meaning.
Okay. So is there consensus in this group that the wording we've got is okay and strikes that balance? I'm just trying to move on.
Yes.
Kevin, if we believe that's the case, then the response to the public comments is the work group believes that is what it says, because you do need to respond to the comments.
Oh.
And possibly, you know, if we want to somehow reinforce the wording and explain it better so that it's better understood, you know, we should, you know, do that too. If we can do it without saying that something we don't want to say. I mean, it is just one bullet point, so it might be possible to, you know, expand the wording somewhat.
Why don't we move back?
Although it is pretty specific, but, you know, perhaps we can word it a little better, you know, and add the sentence, this does not mean that having some government funding disqualifies an applicant.
And I think that's all the commenters were seeking to clarify.
Let's add it then.
I have a very small personal panic that just came up. Avery, can you take over for a couple of minutes?
Certainly. Okay, so for W23, we will add some text that says this does not prohibit.
Yeah.
An applicant with some leaving open, but the whole notion of tight guidelines is something that we haven't gotten into. But
yeah, I think that reacts appropriately to the public comment.
Avery?
Yes?
Traffic.
Okay, yeah, Rafi.
Maybe to clarify, we need to define what the percentage of the government participation in such projects, because it's still, if we want more details, it will be more, we need more to clarify the problems, because if we just need, we just say that how to define that it's more largely a government project-led initiative or not. If it's 30%, 40%, 20%, 50%, what's the percentage?
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, but I do understand the point, and that's why I'd made the comment about specific guidelines is sort of, and the details of specific guidelines is something that we are putting on the further work to be done list, because there's no way in the next 2 weeks we're going to get that degree of specificity. But indeed, you are right, you know, and perhaps, you know, one can be careful that some does not mean majority, et cetera. But you're right, the slope does get slippery after a certain point. You know, is it the same? I mean, once you start talking about percentages, I start to have, you know, vertical integration nightmares about.
I'm getting real nervous as we go down that direction every year.
Right. And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Rafiq, but we do need to be careful. And I don't know that actually pinning that down is a task we want to undertake it at this point. So the people doing the strict guidelines that we're recommending be a further task would be stuck with it. Yes.
Sorry, just to clarify why I asked this, that because last week I did a presentation here in Tokyo, and there was kind of a report about ICANN meeting in Brussels, and I did a presentation about our work. That the question I received is that I was asked, how you define a government-led initiative? So, and then, okay, I could respond that largely is cetera regarding what is in the document, but is it still not clear how we can define the government participation? So maybe we don't need percentage at this stage, but we need to make more, more strong rephrasing or more clarification that help people to understand. But I'm not sure how we can do that.
Okay. Okay, so I put down a note. What does it mean to be a government-led initiative? And perhaps some words to try and touch that. And let's not try and wordsmith it now, but let's look if somebody can find out, you know, a way to say not a government-led initiative without getting into percentages and such.
Avery, Cheryl here, and I see Tijani's hand up. I think we could spend the next amount of the time we have on this call and many, many more just focusing on the definition between led and in principle support. I think this is a hugely complex issue. I can envisage situations where one could have a 100% in principle support from the government of your particular jurisdiction as a very affirmative thing to say the belief by the community you're representing is sufficiently strong as an argument why your new GTLD is a very good thing indeed. But that doesn't mean that there is 1 cent of either cold hard cash or facilitation coming from that particular government or the in-principle support that the government is giving. It's a really complicated matter, and we'd get into some very particular terminology arguments, and I think it's definitely for the later, not now pile, but to recognise it as an issue is probably all we can do, but say that there is no impediment if a government supports, without saying it's an initiative of the government, but if the government supports something, that is not an impediment to qualifying under the criteria you're looking forward to setting from this work group.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion for wording. I'll look at that. Tijani?
Yes, to continue on what Cheryl said now, I'm wondering, are we speaking about a percentage of the financial support or a percentage of the whole support? What kind of support? The supporting kind, is it quantified? Can we put a percentage for it? It's complicated. It's not like this. We can have a full support of a government, but no penny is paid for the project. So let's speak about the financial support. And in this case, I agree, we can put limits. We can put percentages.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Aubrey, this is Evan.
Okay, yes, Evan.
Yeah, I think we're going in the right direction. I don't think having wording that explicitly prohibits government involvement is warranted, but I think, Cheryl, notwithstanding, we can probably put in some kind of language that, you know, even though it isn't specific on details, can say that, you know, this is not intended for applications that are primarily government-financed and supported. Are you saying that without that level of excruciating detail, this will not be a useful statement?
Good.
If I might just add to that, Evan, the reason we included it in the first place was partly just to kind of discourage people from putting forward their initiatives for funding, right?
Right.
And that may have the effect that we're looking for. If we just have a broad statement saying, if this is really a government, you know, to the effect that if this is really just a government thing, then, you know, then this mechanism isn't the mechanism that you want. And have, as I think it was to Johnny suggested, some very, very rough lines about what percentage of the money or something like that. That should be enough, I think. We're not going to get into rulemaking here. I don't think we need to.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll take the guidance, see what kind of wording we can come up with, and then we'll pass back through this both when we're reviewing, because one of the things that's going to happen is, A, we'll go back to working on the document in the next meeting, and B, we will review the draft responses to each of these items. So we'll come back here probably several times, and I think we have a good clue at the moment of sort of the Scylla and Charybdis of this particular piece, and see if we can't, you know, find a way to move between the two dangers that we're seeing, and see what we've got.
Everett, Alan, just one thought which may get us to partly out of the quagmire. We use the term support in two different ways, one being philosophical support and one being contributing to the funding of, and we should try to use the word one way only and pick something else for the other one, because when we use it interchangeably in every second sentence, it does get confusing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And
good idea.
Defining some of our times might be good. At the moment, this bullet says purely government/parastatal applicants.
No, I understand, but
right.
In our discussion, we've been using the term
support
as synonymous with putting money into it, and that's not the only way we use the term support, government support, or anyone's support.
Right.
I would even add to Alan's suggestion that perhaps as part of what we're doing, we create a small glossary to define the way that we mean term to be used.
Well, but we have to stop using it in two different ways simultaneously. That was the point I was making.
I get it. I think both are true.
Yes.
Right. And Andrew, I think having a glossary is good. But we also have to make sure that the words we put into the glossary and the definitions are common definitions. And so we can say we only mean this one, but it needs to be a commonly understood definition.
Agreed.
Otherwise, we've created a language, and I don't think we want to do that. ICANN does enough of that.
No, I'm checking Alan's point to try and create more precision.
No, I totally agree. I'm just mentioning an extra caution on it. Anything more on W-2-3 here? And all of these things, we'll be circulating back to them, as I say, both reading the draft answers and looking at the draft changes in the document. So it's not the last time we'll see the issue, for sure.
Hmm.
Anything more on W-2-3? I see no hands. Anybody that doesn't have Adobe have anything more to comment? Evan, should I keep running with it, or do I pass it back to you?
Your pick.
Okay, I guess I'll keep running since I was late, and we're almost done anyway.
Go ahead.
WT24, we talked about a lot yesterday while we were talking about the first comment. That's the one of targeting just the ethnic linguistics, but also consider the non-for-profit organizations under specific circumstances. We talked a lot about this yesterday, but we weren't specifically in this particular point. Does anyone have anything? So, for example, you know, we had had points mentioned, like the fact that somebody is nonprofit doesn't mean that they can't cover the fees. So certainly a blanket nonprofit was not seemed to be supported. There was some notion of perhaps including the possibility of charitable service organizations, but with the same restrictions of need, and there being various conversations of what exactly does that need mean. We certainly had a bunch of discussions on the mailing list about the inclusion of the nonprofit, other extents, the entrepreneurial inclusion. So I don't know. Did anybody have more to add on this particular point at this point?
Yes, Tijani.
Yes, Tijani.
Okay. As I said just 2 days ago, I prefer not to put a filter at the entry, saying that in this phase or in this pilot phase, we will prioritize ethnic and linguistic communities. We don't need to put any filter. The most important criteria is the need. This is the most important criteria. And for sure, we will put in our language that we have to encourage the languages that are not already on the net or they are or the disadvantaged languages. We will also put that for for non-profit organization will be eligible. But it's not restrictive. It must be very broad, because the real criteria of the selection will be the need.
Okay, I think we probably have consensus on certainly that last sentence, that the real criteria is the need. I'm wondering, though, whether we do have group consensus on the first part, which is, and I see Andrew's hand up, which is we don't want to narrow down the world of need to some subset of it, as you say, putting an initial filter. So I'd like to explore to what degree there's consensus in the group on having some sort of filter and having no filter, as you suggest. Andrew, you have your hand up.
Just briefly, the intent, Najati, of course, I agree with you very much that the form of the applicant is not important particularly. The only intent of starting with ethnic and linguistic communities was to narrow our world a little bit as we learn, and also, frankly, to try to build political support within political and other supports within the ICANN community to make this bigger. I don't think that the focus on ethnic and linguistic communities should be a limiting factor. It was only a starting point, and if I recall from the language, we said explicitly that it's not limited to that, but that we were going to look at these groups first, and that was the reason why.
They're prime examples of the need. Yeah.
I don't think we're that far apart, actually. There wasn't anything that said that we couldn't go beyond this, only that we would just start with these people, and I think that was partly a political decision, frankly.
Mr. Johnny, I see your hand up.
Yes. If we say that we look at those categories first, it can be used by people who will select the eligible applicants. It could be used to only consider these categories, or not to only, but to really prioritize them, even if they are not really in need as much as other applicants. So, for me, the real criteria, the first criteria, is the need, and then any other category are welcome, no problem.
Cheryl, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Avery. Just picking up on what Tijani is saying and what Andrew was referring to, perhaps we just need to look at strengthening our language in response to these comments that says these are not limiting factors, but these are prime examples of what would meet immediate community need. Yeah, it's not prioritized.
Right. On this one, I think our language at the moment, though, is fairly clear. And so we would need to change the language, because it says at least in initial pilot phase, TARBA could support two ethnic and linguistic communities.
But I think what I'm hearing, particularly from Tijani, is that needs changing.
What I'd like to see, though, is on a wider group, whether that's something that we actually have, to what degree we have consensus on making that change within the group.
Sure.
Avery, we can mention linguistic and ethnic categories as an example, but we cannot say that we prioritize them or we look at them first. That's the point.
Right. No, I understand that, and I understand that that's your point. What I want to make sure of, though, is in the wider group, especially some of our other active participants who aren't here on this phone call, that we take that discussion. Because that was a sort of one of the earlier, you know, pillars in the ground on this proposal. So if we're going to change that at this point, we need to go back and make sure that there is certainly a group consensus on changing that. I do understand the point that you're making, that this shouldn't be the case and perhaps they should only be examples, but I do want to check further than on this call. So I'll note that this is an issue that needs further explanation, if that's okay.
Rafiq. I am really in favor to keep the filter, because what we try to do is that to assist those underserved communities. Because if it just we will make we accept everybody and they ask for. Needs, it will be more complicated to select, and we will anyway to prioritize. It's something common. Even I can do it, for example, for fellowship program. They make some prioritization. Every people from developing countries can apply, but at the end of the day, there is some criteria that to help to prioritize some people if they are in the same, they have the same, if they are maybe the same, if we, quality of application, but there is some other criteria to prioritize someone other than others. So it's, we need some filter. And in our case, we have some communities that they are really underserved, and we need to help them to apply, to encourage them to apply. And such filter will make more easy for them to apply, because if it will be more broad, it will be more complicated.
Okay, thank you. I see one check from Eric Bruner-Williams that went up while you were speaking, and I have Andrew Tijani and then Alan. So go ahead, Andrew.
Briefly, I guess I'm throwing this out as a question to the group. The idea of a filter is there to deal with two things, right? One is to try and encourage people, and the other one is to deal with a scarcity of an assumed scarcity of resources. We also talked about the idea of a filter as a support for, as a way of gaining support within the community. I guess I'm throwing out the question: Do we think that having something like this, like a focus, an early focus group, is going to gain additional support within the community? If it is, I say that there may be value in it. If we don't believe that politically it's necessary, then maybe maybe Tijani is right, and we should let it go. I want to see it accomplish something for us if we're going to do this.
Okay, thank you. I have Tijani, then Alan, then Evan.
Yes, I'd like to ask Rafiq a question. Are the underserved communities, are they limited to the linguistic and ethnic communities? No, they are not. So if your worry, your concern is to serve the underserved communities, we don't have to put a filter, because you will disadvantage other communities that are really underserved also.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
I just want to caution against using a filter on not-for-profit. I don't know many ethnic linguistic communities that are not not-for-profit. So the two are not mutually exclusive, and we may want to focus on ethnic linguistic, but you don't want to restrict not-for-profits from applying, because in general they may be the same things. So even if we do a explicit filter restriction, we need to be very careful of the words that we don't kill the people that we're looking to attract at the same time.
Thank you.
Right. Evan?
I want to just, in fact, run with what Alan said and make the distinction between two different aspects of an application: structure of the body applying and the purpose for which the string is intended. The two have very little to do with each other, and I was under the impression, this is again something that Andrew and I talked about yesterday, that the structure of the applicant should almost be irrelevant, that the main issue should be the intention of the string and accomplishing our goals. The structure of the applicant, at least in my opinion, should be secondary, if even an issue at all. And just two other things I just want to toss out, one of which is I think we're making a distinction here between the filter, meaning things that are allowed and not allowed, but also to consider within the things that are allowed. I don't think it's beyond our call to prioritize the things that go to the top of the list. Not everything will be inappropriate, but even amongst those things that are appropriate, there's going to be priorities that are going to be higher than others. And the last thing is just a reminder that all the at-large people have a hard stop in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave now, so
okay,
see you all. Bye.
Yeah. Dejani, you put your hand up again, although this is...
No, excuse me.
I guess I'll give you the last word on it.
Excuse me. No.
No? Okay. Just bringing it up as we close, we have one more here, which was, but we've talked about that a bunch, which was the comprehensive statement from African Afro about the importance of geographic, cultural, linguistics, and more generally community-based applications. And you know, we've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that. Okay, what I suggest for next time is that we start going through, we're starting to work on looking at the answers and as they're written, and looking at what we have to do in the document to bring it up. So, again, I apologize for being late. I thank all of you who were here before me. Thank you for the call, and we'll call it for today.
First, last word,
Ari. I thought you said you need the last word.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Last word. For the African community statement, I propose that we take the key points and put them as we did for the other comments.
We'll be going point by point.
You understand?
Right, we'll be going through the structure of the document in the next meeting, so we can get into all of this.
But we have to take only the points that are not specific for Africa. We will not take the points
Let's talk about that at our next meeting when everybody can focus.
Okay.
Good luck
bye-bye.
With the ALAC meeting. Talk
okay.
to you all
bye-bye.
On Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 Thank you very much. Tijani, on va taper tout de suite.